mean?
A bias. Yes, hue means a bias. A color, informally speaking, not strictly speaking, you know, strictly speaking, hues are not colors. Strictly speaking. But hue is a bias. And it's a bias based not in reality, but based in the makeup of the creature. That's why they say to make a mistake is human. That's what the philosopher says. To make a mistake is human. To forgive is divine. Now, we don't agree with both his statements. We think all of it is human. To make a mistake is human, and to forgive is human. Both is human. So we know human. You means influence. Influence. Something subject to human influence. You means also an allusion to the matter. And God made the man from the earth. And they call the earth top soil, the living soil, what do they call it? Human soil. So it's an allusion to the matter that the man supposedly have been made from, and it's also an allusion to his own opinion. That he's a creature of his own opinion. Other creatures don't have their own opinion. They still follow God's law for them. The bird still makes his nest the same way. The roast still follows the same custom. But it's only this human being that comes up with his own opinions of things. That's why he's huge man. Yeah. Now, he says a human is the only God. Only Allah. Oh, what a foolish statement. He's worse than the Christians. He criticizes. The Christians don't say the human of Jesus is God. They say the divine of Jesus is God. They got more sense than he has. And he criticizes them for believing in Jesus. Well, well, well. Say, y'all, you shouldn't talk about another brother. I talk about another mother. Yes, my obligation to Allah is more important than friendship, more important than ethnicity, more important than past comradeship. He deviated from the comradeship laws that we had even in that darkness. Form and progression. When the prophet answered Pharaoh, what did he say? Yes, Pharaoh wanted to know, so who is this Lord? This Allah that you're talking about. The prophet said, the one who gave every creature his form and thereafter his guidance. How wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. The one who gave every creature his khalq, his form, and thereafter his guidance. So he's telling Pharaoh very subtly, very diplomatically, because he was claiming to be God. See, and the prophet was just a mortal being. So he's being very subtle, very diplomatic with Pharaoh. But he's telling Pharaoh, mister, you're a dumbbell. Now, if you want to get this again, come back to your own form, then you will get guidance. You ain't no God, you're a mortal being just like me. Poor fella, now come back to your form and then you will get guidance.
Praise be to Allah.
This religion is a religion for men and women, not babies, not toddlers. Weeping and crying toddlers, no. You got to firm up if you want to live this religion. This religion been made for adulthood. ain't nowhere in the Quran where we are addressed as little children. That's the other scripture that does that. My little children. No, this is a religion for adults. Oh, yes. So, Allah calls on the intellect of man to heed, form, that forms will guide man to the proper discipline for those forms. For in creating the forms, he evolved the discipline. So in the form, there is guidance. How come the scientist can follow this logic when he's in the lab, but go to church and forget it? Yes, this logic of the Quran is accepted in the scientific laboratory. That if you want to know the discipline for a creature, first know the form. You don't find a discipline for a creature before finding its form. The form, in the form, the discipline is implicit. So how are we to behave? What should be our aspiration? We are not angels in form. Our aspiration should be human. We are political creatures. We need leadership. We order our society and we must have some focal point for leadership. This is natural for human beings. So we are political creatures. We are social creatures. We don't like to live alone. We have to mate to reproduce ourselves. We can't progress the world if we're going to depend only on the first generation. We need generations to continue our work if we are to establish society. So we are social creatures. We must exist as a social unit. Right? Okay. See, when you study the form, you know what you need. So already, just those two questions on our form have established that we need government and that we need social functions. Right? Yes. And we can go on talking about the form of man, and out of his form we can read, or in his form we can read his needs. It ain't no spooky matter. Just come home to Allah. Come home to what Allah has established and leave your own fancy. So, dear beloved people, Allah says, أَلَا لِلَّهِ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Then is there not for Allah both the creation and the command? Ah, how wonderful it is. Now, what is this idea? That a ruler now has been exalted in the heavens and called to sit down on the right-hand side of the Father to regulate affairs, to receive repentance, to forgive, to be an arbiter, et cetera, et cetera. What is this idea? Oh, what does Allah say to this? You think I speak harshly? What does Allah say to this? He say, if Allah should cause Jesus and Mary and every creature on earth to die or be destroyed, then what he last, what God will you turn to then to get them back? Now, this doesn't insult Jesus. This insults his backward following. His misguided backward following. Because he is seen in the Bible praying as we pray, with his hand, knees, feet, forehead touching the ground, praying to a superior. And he says in the gospel, I know not what will happen on tomorrow, only God. And he says in the Bible, the sent is not equal with the sender. I read the Bible, see. You all might have felt the Bible. I read it. Yes. So Jesus would have no problem with what I'm saying. I can imagine him now jumping in his spirit, wherever he is, saying, oh, this is wonderful. what is happening on earth in these times. Praise be to Allah. Or I should say in Chicago in these times. So Chicago is a more troublesome environment in these times. Oh, yes. More confused environment in these times. Pitiful state that this city is in right now. Praise be to Allah. So, dear people, we question the idea because Allah has bid us to question it. We reject the idea because Allah bid us reject it. That anyone has been raised from the mortal family, or from flesh, or from creation, Mary or anything else, to the position of Lord with God, where that person sits on the right hand of God. That means he has become God's friend. Right hand means a strength. That means God is weaker than he. Jesus and the member of God now is stronger than God. Saying he becomes the right hand of God. So here is God have to make himself a right arm. Was he only a lefty? Use the language, but this is the kind of language you need to bring you to sense. Those who fabricate scriptures, they have to outdo their predecessors. So if David had said that God would cause his enemies to become his footstool, he would exalt David, give him triumph, victory, and exalt him above his enemies, and will make all of his enemies his footstool. So the one who adds to the drama, he has to make it even more dramatic. So now, the next fabricator, he says, and this son was born of a virgin woman and no father, and for the purpose of coming in the world as God, dying as flesh, and then returning to heaven, whole soul and body, and ruling on the right-hand side of the Father. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And the Bible says, do not put yeast in the bread. Because the yeast is something that inflates. And inflate means exaggeration. Lies, etc. If I say he inflated that story, man, that means he added to it and he lied, put a lot of lies in it. All right. And you know, we were told to put yeast in our bread. Plenty of yeast in our bread. And I bear witness that it was inflated. Full of air. A lot of lies. And beating it, didn't take it out. Now he said beat it. You beat it, it rise right back up again. And one way to get rid of it, burn it up. It doesn't rise up after that fire hit it enough. Now, so this area is addressing this big lie. Why should we look for a connection with a small thing before we look for a connection with a big thing? The average person will read the Quran where Allah says something, and he will see a connection with a small thing, and he thinks that's the connection. Perhaps it alludes to that too. But what does it address specifically? That's the substance of the revelation. To see what it addresses specifically. And here, this thing is not for, is there not for them? Is there not for Allah, both the creation and the command? This addressed the charge that he had a son now to take over the command from him. He created the world and rested, and now a son takes over the command. That God the Father's role is not the command. His role was just to create. he has a son to command. That's why it is said in the Quran, Ala lillahi al-khalq wal-amr, is not then there is for Allah, both the creation and the command? What are you going to do, cheat in the God? You take God and say this is God and then dismember him and mess him up, make him a paranoid? Make him a victim of split personalities? Make him a frail, weak, milksop human? That's what the scripture make out of God. And then say, well, he went as far as he could go as creator. And now the rule on earth is not in the hands of the creator. The rule now is in the hand of man. What are you ruling? Your mental hospitals keep getting fuller and fuller. The environment keeps getting worse and worse with you ruling. Doomsday keeps getting nearer and nearer because of your action. So how do you qualify it as a God to take over from the Creator? So Allah says, then is not there for Allah, the one God, not a son, not one of you mortals, is not then there for Allah, both the creation and the command? And Allah says in the Quran, in Laylatul Qadr, that the angels and the spirit, the Holy Spirit and the angels, they descend by his order, by his command. So who is the commander? Allah is the commander. He commands the Holy Spirit and he commands the angels. And they follow only what he has ordered for them. They following every order. Salamun hiya. Why now? It's peace now. How come? How do you arrive at peace? By accepting that he is the commander and following his orders. Salamun hiya. Hatta matla'il fajr. Peace it is to the rising of the dawn. What is the dawn? This is night. What is night? Night is faithful obedience. The dawn is rational thought. Peace it is to the rise of the dawn. Then when man starts to rise up in his intellect, the peace is broken. Because he begins, as Allah said in the Quran, he begins to think himself to be self-important or self-sufficient. That he needs no Allah. That Allah has finished his work. Now man takes over. This is what the West tells us. This is what has separated the mental continuity of the West, has split that continuity, has denied them mental integrity. Show me a Western thinker with mental integrity. He doesn't have it. It's impossible for him. Why? Because he believes in secularism on one side and faith on the other side. He doesn't admit divine knowledge into one side, and he doesn't admit scientific knowledge into the other side. He's a freak of a weird sort. Yes, in his mental makeup. And he allowed himself to follow the scheme that the Jacobites put on the Europeans to contain them. See, Greece once had to contain Europe. And in their mythology, they call it Europa. And they bound Europa as a cow and tied her. Yes, this is in Greek mythology. And Greek mythology, if you've been to college, if you study mythology, mythology is to be interpreted into real world. It's symbols hiding real knowledge. Now here come the Jacobites, and they set their traps too to contain the European man. And has contained him until today. And right now, he gives his allegiance. I'm talking about America. He gives his allegiance more to the ungodly Jew than he gives it to the godly Jew. How much will our government give to faithful Jews to real religious use. But look what it gives to a maniac, a criminal, a war maker, a militarist government, an expansionist government. It fits those descriptions perfect. Look what America gives that government of Begin, who has violated even the morals of a savage society. Not to speak of scripture, he violated the decency of a savage society. But look how our leaders stand by him. Continued support to him. Played a two-faced, played a hypocrite with the Palestinians and with other Arabs. Deceived them, making them think that we are just, we are fair-handed. While constantly trying to reinforce their support for Israel. Yes. So this religion is for grown-ups. For grown-ups. For grown-up Americans, too. Grown-up Americans, they demand all their rights. An American is a kind of democracy. It's a peculiar democracy. It's a kind of democracy that allows its citizens to be patriotic while attacking their president, while attacking even the Constitution of these United States. A citizen has the right to attack the Constitution of the United States. And if he can prove he can bring in better, then he has the right to sell that doctrine or to publish that philosophy and to gain following. And if he's able to, he can change the Constitution of these United States. That's all provided in the Constitution of these United States. So don't sit here and look at me with your stool pigeon self. Your weak Uncle Tom self. Serving as little dumbbell soldiers. Little dumbbell officers to watch your own people and go and report to your bosses. And half the time they ain't even interested in what you have to report. They don't respect you. They look down on you. You're inferior material in their eyes. They hate to stomach you, but they got to stomach you sometimes because they're afraid maybe if they turn, they won't hear you, won't listen to you. One time, you have something important to say. I don't care what kind of commitment you got to people other than Allah. If you accept me, give your support to me, become a Muslim, follow Muhammad, and support me as your imam, you can tap every commitment they gave you, you made with them. You can give them back whatever cart you carry. You can quit the job, and ain't nothing they can do if your decision to come this way is sincere. Ain't nothing they can do. I don't care how frightening that threats are. Ain't nothing they can do. Then, is there not for Allah both the creation and the command? Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved people, we have to understand that this religion does not encourage us to trust speculation, guesswork, blind feelings, etc. We have to obey. Allah says, obey. And the believers say in the Quran, as Allah has revealed it, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. We hear and we obey. What is that saying? Many will think it means we don't think about it. We hear what God says, act on it. How can you hear it without thinking about it? When you're not thinking, that's when you can't hear. Right? To hear, you got to think. Hear Hearing is a thinking process. Listen carefully. This is very important. As they say, samana watana. They say, we hear and we obey. What is that addressing? That's addressing the methodology in the church. The church tells you to feel and respond. Allah tells us to hear and respond.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.
Those who feel and respond go upon emotionalism. Those who hear and respond follow intelligence. See the superiority of the message. Allah has corrected the message that went before. This is the superiority of the message. And Islam is superior. Look at an animal when it's in doubt or when it's feel its situation is threatened. Animal ears become very attentive. Hearing is a sign of attentiveness. Hearing indicates attentiveness, not emotionalism. The animal becomes still. It might be jumping around. Then hear. Emotions rest. Brain takes over. And look when we call that in. Where the hands go to the ears. In other words, this is a rational method, a rational religion, a religion that requires that the intellect be functioning, not just the emotionality. Very important. Very important. And they say, sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. What did Caesar say to his men? Countrymen, countrymen, lend me your ears. Look how he addressed them. Lend me your ears. He was the ruler, the chief, sovereign ruler. But he didn't say, I'm going to take your ears. He didn't say, I demand your ears. He said, lend me your ears. He was polite, wasn't he? Polite. Why was he so polite? Because he was addressing men of intellect. See, what you don't know, in Roman language, countrymen is different language. Countrymen meant leaders. It is still the same for America. The people in the rural areas are the ones that the nation respects. The people in the metropolis are the ones that they mess over. Still the same. Countrymen, countrymen, lend me your ears. And in the Quran, we are told to say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. Blessed is he who hears the word of the Lord. Is that not right? Didn't say, blessed is he who feels the word of the Lord. And in the church, they say, you got the feeling? They just be preaching and just keep asking, you got the feeling? So what about the hearing, man? So what, you all put down the hearing? When you put down the hearing, you lose your speech. It's a condition that's followed by speechlessness, right? Yeah, because the child that's born and can't hear can't talk. You need hearing in order to speak. Now, sense obedience follows perception. The human being is an intelligent creature. You're not supposed to respond before perception. If I say I need an eraser, don't just jump up and start moving. Perceive what I need first. But some happy, jolly folks that want to impress somebody ain't real. He just want to impress people, right? He may jump up and run over there and bring me the book. I say, no, it happened. I say, no, I didn't ask for the Quran. I asked for an eraser. He's not intellectually constituted. He's not intelligently constituted. He is emotionally constituted. So he just wanted to impress me. So when I said, someone bring me the eraser,
He wanted to beat everybody, so he didn't hear good. He ran and brought me the Quran. I said, no, brother, I don't want the Quran. I want to erase it. Hey, sorry, brother, man. I didn't hear. Right? Yeah. So, to respond, you first need perception. Now, we know a lot of responses are involuntary because Allah has talked just like this through genes over billions of years. So the heart is beating without perception. The pulse in the blood and the breathing, all these things, all these functions in the body without perception. And I'm without perception preceding it. And I'm moving around here at the stand for my comfort, for my convenience, without perception preceding my movement. Right? All of this is just automatic. Right? Right? Yeah. That's because this ain't in the plan. This here ain't in the plan. What my feet doing ain't in the plan. But what I'm teaching, what I'm saying, the words are in the plan. And if I don't speak with perception preceding action, I'm going to have a faulty presentation. Oh, yes. Sense obedience. Sense obedience follows perception. And since all forms of language are heard before they are clearly perceived, you have to hear it first. You can't understand it. You can't speak it until you hear it. And since the sense of hearing is a condition for speech, correct perception best serves the need for correct responses. Attention on the requirements. That's what we need. Okay. What is this? What is communicated? What is communicated? Is there a need? Is there a need for involvement? What are the requirements? Let my mind focus on what is needed, what is required. Communication, life, for a human being, is an intelligent function. And if you don't gear your life to this kind of functioning, then you'll always be on the bottom of other people. You'll be at the bottom, other people above you. Attention on the requirements. Then, after attention on the requirements, what? Compliance in the needs. How can you serve my needs? You don't know the requirements. How can you answer order? You don't know what's asked. Huh? We hear. We obey. Correct our actions. Our adequate responses are preceded by careful attention. Careful attention. Don't be too hasty. Come to a conclusion. Make a judgment. Judge an individual. Hear him talk for 2 minutes and judge him. Look at his carriage, the way he walked in the place, and judge him. Don't be too hasty. Now, acting in response to a communication comes behind heeding, or comes behind attentively listening in an effort to know how to respond. Isn't that right? Yes! See, these out of the plan, these out of the methodology, these out of the circumstances actions, these leisure movements, they don't need this. But the world ain't built by the leisure makers. It's built by the intelligent thinkers. Right? Okay. So Allah says, Sami'ana wa ata'ana. We hear. Of the believers, we hear and we obey. Hearing is heeding. Hearing is heeding. Hearing is given attention. I can give you an illustration of this fact very quickly. Because of experience. Have you ever been talking to someone and they didn't hear a thing you were saying? And they were right in your face? I know you have, because this time is worse than ever. My mother and father and my grandparents didn't tell me about no time like this one. I mean, for hearing. People can't hear nowadays, man. They be sitting down looking at the television. you say, is that the news? They don't hear a thing. You say, isn't there something burning in the kitchen? They don't hear a thing. The smoke alarm come on, and they don't hear a thing. Somebody in the house who's not hypnotized has to go and tend to the matter in the kitchen and open the window so the smoke can go out. And they be sitting there crying from the smoke and still don't know the smoke alarm went off. Why? Because their mind has become disattached. Their mind has become totally disattached. The attachment to the television have totally disattached their mind from the rest of the environment. And you can make a $1 million transaction right by them, and they wouldn't tell because they wouldn't know. So what is required to hear? Attentiveness. To hear, you got to be attentive. That's why the teacher in school, they know who's learning. And the little boy ain't giving attention. Say, look, you're going to fail. I've been trying to get you to pay some attention. Say, you're going to fail because you're not listening. All right. And in the military, all commands start from or issue from what? Position of attention. You don't start commanding your troops before you say, troops, attention. Then you start giving them commands. And other attention, get their attention first, then you can order them. Because you don't want no clumsy cadence, clumsy demonstration of the cadence, or the execution of the cadence, do you? No, in the military, you're serious. You don't want that dude to do the bebop when you tell him to move ahead half step. You don't want him to start bebopping. So you got to have his attention. Attention! Listen now, let your whole mind, hearing is the sense functioning or sense experience in us that utilize the most of our being. See, when you're feeling something, it doesn't utilize as much as your being as when you hear it. It doesn't require as much as your concentration to feel something as it does to hear something. That's what I mean by that. When you're hearing, it requires more of your being, more of your what you call it, more of your utility. You have to bring all of your utility into play, into action, to attention, to hear. That's why the animal, when he's hearing, sometimes even his tail will get stiff. His whole body shows sign that he's trying to hear. Right? Yeah. Everything is perfectly still because he needs complete attention to hear. And the church thinks it's feeling that gets the whole body. No, it just gets the churchy side. To get the practical side, appeal to their hearing, as the scripture did in the beginning. The Christians made a mistake. And that's what Allah says in the Quran. They made a mistake. They missed the mark. Because the Jacobites deceived them. Have you ever noticed when something grates on your hearing? It can send uncomfortable vibrations all through your whole nervous system. Right? Yes. Yeah. You hear something that grates on the hearing. It's not pleasant. It can send bad sensitivity, bad sense experience throughout your whole body. And when you're hearing, I know if I speak right into your ear, you hear it in your ear. But as you're hearing my voice now, try to locate where it's going. Where's my voice going? It ain't, you say ear? No. No, you don't feel it in your ear. You feel it in your heart. Hearing goes to the heart. And only when somebody right up to your ear does it register in the ear. So when someone speaks to you, it registers in the center of your being, in the center of your body. Because the nervous system, it registers upon the nervous system. Nature has prepared it that way because God designed it that way. That the most important communication that comes to the human being is in the form of language. And language must be heard very carefully if it is to be understood. So hearing has tuned the senses and disciplined them to be as accurate as possible. Praise be to Allah. So when you see a condition of absent-mindedness and the inability to hear, or increase in that inability to hear, what should that tell you? That should tell you that the society is losing its level of intelligence. The level of intelligence function in that society is diminishing. And that's what's happening today. Brain drainage. Isn't that what they say? I'm using their language. I'm using their language. Deterioration of the schools, public school system, et cetera, et cetera. Loss in value. Deterioration of the workforce. That's what they're saying. And right along with that is what? This evident impaired hearing. Yes. See how fortunate we are to be Muslims. You have a chance to live. That's what it means. You have a chance to live, to get life again, and grow again, and keep on, and go up. And if you take full advantage of it, you have a chance to perhaps come into the office of rule. Because the most fit will be the ruler. You can't get around that. I don't care what kind of prejudice they have. When it comes to running this government and looking out for the future of this nation, they're going to depend on the most fit. They don't care how black he is. If they got a poor substitute over there, he's white, they're going to tell him, say, look, well, look, maybe we can fool the people. We'll put you out there on television, but you're going to have to take orders from this black brother or this black man. They don't care. No, not when it comes to survival. They don't care. So we have a wonderful time here. Allah has blessed us. What a wonderful situation. If we work hard and do and give just respect, due respect to this Quran and to this religion and the life of Prophet Muhammad, we have a chance to rise right on up to the top positions in the world. Oh, yes. Prepare your generations, your children. Teach them to pass it on to their children. Teach them as soon as they get to be old enough to understand. My youngest child, our youngest son is Saudi. And already Saudi have had years of pleas from us, instructions from us, to take up our responsibility and do his part to preserve this life that we have chosen for ourselves. All the children get that from us. And if you are free-thinking African-American, you will see that all your children get it. But if you are Uncle Tom, you'll try to undermine this and hope that none of the children will accept it. I hope that they can be pulled away from it after they accept it. Yeah, we know your mind. But Allah has power over all things. It's not in your hands. Now, dear beloved brothers and sisters, the ayah goes on to say, wa ilayka al-masir. And to you is our God, our goal, our object, our aim, our destiny. They say we hear and we obey. Forgive us, our Lord. See, when your mind becomes alert, your intelligence juices start to work. Then you'll recall and you'll see your own shortcomings. And what comes next is repentance, if you're sincere. So we say, we hear and we obey. Then, Ghufranaka Rabbana, forgive us, our Lord. Then we say, Wa ilayka al-masir. To you is our destiny. We mentioned earlier that what will save us is what the average good faithful believer has. Whether he belongs to Christianity or Judaism or whatever. That is, the average sincere person in religion puts God first. Hold God above everything. And they believe they have to account to God or before God. So God gives direction to their life. God gives purpose to their life. Praise be to Allah. So we say, Wa ilayka al-masir. To you is the destiny. To you is the destiny. So what did this bring in mind in the conclusion of this talk? A need for aim. Need for purpose. Need for something as a goal to orientate the whole life toward it. Need for unity of purpose. Because if we are divided in our chief purpose, we are divided sure. Oh, we are divided indeed. But if we are united in our chief purpose, or in our uppermost purpose, then that will unite us in our differences. Won't destroy our unity. For after all, we're human beings. We're going to differ. We can't all be the same. We're going to differ as to how we feel. We're going to differ as to how we think. We're going to differ. But if we hold Allah to be uppermost, foremost, to be the chief concern, if we just hold on to that, if we can have more, all the much the better. If we can have a concept of this religion, of this community, of al-Islam, the Ummatul Islamiyya. If we could have a concept of this Ummatul Islamiyya, the Islamic community, and know how the community life is structured, and how it should be operating, that would be much better. But if we have no more than this devotion to Allah, and understand it as a faithful believer in religion, understand it, that God is foremost, uppermost. He is the chief concern. If we have only that, believe me, that will give some kind of context to our life. That will give some kind of direction to our life. That will give us a goal. The goal is to please God. To recognize Him as the uppermost, the chief authority. That will be in our life. That will be central to our life. And we will be saved if we just have that. The condition of our people now tells us that something has brought about a worsening in their mental makeup, in their social sensitivity, because they are more neglectful now of their social duties, of their home environment, of their home obligations. They are more neglectful now of their duties to human beings, to another fellow human being. There was an African-American that I have great respect for. I forget his name. I'm not sure now. His name's in the back of my mind. He said that from slavery we came into the church, and the church became our only institution. He established the church as the black people or African-American people's only institution. And we know we've built a few schools, Tuskegee, and a few others. But those schools have not been experienced by the great numbers of people that have experienced church life. And it is fear of God, respect for God, love for God. Don't you know fear of God, respect for God, and love for God? It's what enabled us to endure even the white man's Jim Crowism, the white man's 100 years of lynching, the white man writing us off as equal human beings, as subhuman and monkeys, as three-fifths of a man in the Constitution. Don't you know it was the love of God, respect for God, devotion to God that enabled us to endure that in this history of America? gave some kind of direction to our life, some kind of form to our life, some kind of purpose to our life. That didn't bring you up. The only thing held you together, enabled you to get this far, was respect for God. Now you dip all red. You want to turn your back on religion. You want to turn your back on true belief in God. You need to be put down. That's right. You need to suffer the situation you're suffering. And I'm sure you're going to suffer worse until you change that mind of yours.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.